Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning Ministry. We are here every evening on Blog Talk, every Wednesday evening on Blog Talk Radio. I am Dr. Suzanne Clay, and my husband is Minister John Clay, and we're here, you can find us here every Wednesday. This ministry began as a around the kitchen table ministry with a few friends, and then it moved to our local library, and from our local library to word says, to the ends of the world, by given Blog Talk Radio and online radio. So welcome. Our phone number, if you would like to call in, is 347-237-4054. We welcome you to call in, meet us online. If you want to talk to us, send us a message. You can message us through the online on the internet site for Blog Talk Radio. You can also access our previously recorded messages on the site, Blog Talk Radio, then put in and you enter // new beginnings. We can begin again. And you can access our library of messages, and we have almost 400 messages that are in the library. I was going through them this evening. Very good messages and teachings from all over. Tonight, before I introduce our speaker for the evening, we want to have a moment of prayer for those that we're remembering that are sick and shut in. And during this time, the winter season is a time when people are isolated and there's sadness and sometimes you have things that are going on in family. So we want to lift up everybody as far as the word is concerned and life and health and well-being are concerned, and then we're going to go into our word. Father God, we praise your name and we thank you, Lord, for this time, this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, that this is a time, an appointed time that you have set aside for our household, Father God, and for the household of those that are listening to us, Father God, to come together in prayer, Father God, as a time for discussion and learning and teaching from you, from the Holy Spirit. We praise you for that, dear Lord. Father, we come to you asking for a prayer for health and healing for a few people, dear Lord, because we know that Jesus Christ is Jehovah Rapha, that he is our healer. We know that every single stripe that was shed for our sins, our iniquities, and for our healing, for the diseases that are in this earth, Father God. So we know that all these things are covered by the blood. Father God, while we are not going to name the issues or whatever out publicly, Father God, we know that you know, and you know who they are, so we're going to lay them at your feet. So we lift up James Hobbs and Diane Hobbs right now in the name of Jesus. Matthew Stevenson and Stuart Hawthorne in the name of Jesus. Lisa Doggett, Pearl Thompson, in the name of Jesus, we just lift them up right now in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, that you would just bless and keep them, Father God, that they would be comforted, that they would redeem from all pain and discomfort in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you would bring people around them, Father God, to speak life to them, Father God, to help them with their healing and their recovery, Father God, to speak wellness over them, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for Katrina Holloway. I thank you, Lord, for her, for Kim Tyler, for Beverly Spratlin, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I praise you, Lord, that you would just continue to bless them and keep them in Jesus' sweet and holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And all those, Father God, if there be others, Father God, that have been mentioned out loud as from the listeners, Father God, that you would cover them as well, and those in silence, Father God, that you would just cover them in the name of Jesus. Let us hear praise reports. Praise reports, as praise reports come our way, Father God, so that online, as we talk and we pray and people call and ask for prayer, Father God, that others can also hear the praise reports and the rejoicing in the answered prayers in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we come before you expectantly, Father God, expecting healing, expecting to be victorious, Father God. And tonight, Father God, we expect an awesome word from our minister that you have chosen to speak to us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Father God, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you Dawn Mixon. Dawn Mixon is no stranger to Blog Talk Radio and to our ministry. She's been with us for some time, and she always blesses us with golden nuggets that have been that she extracts from the Word, and we thank her for that. Or we thank her for her ability to teach and reach and explain so plainly to all of us. Minister Mixon, are you there? Let's see here. Minister Mixon, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. Yes, I can hear you. I can hear
you.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us and blessing our ministry again. She comes to us from Dawn R. Mixon Ministry. She has her own ministry right out of New York. And she is a pastor and a mother and a strong woman of God with a good word to share with us this evening. Minister Mixon, Pastor Mixon? I'm sorry, Pastor Mixon, I turn this mic over to you. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Again, we thank you. It's always good to be with you on Talk Love Radio, to have the opportunity to share with those I may not be able to reach any other way. So please keep me in prayer. My voice is not at its best because it's been working quite a bit this weekend. So I ask that you continue to pray for me on today. I want to go into the Word of the Lord. The prayer has already been established. We are going to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to go to Luke 2. And I'm going to actually read verses 1 through 6. I'm sorry, 1 through 7. Luke 1 through 7. We're going to be dealing with the season and the time that we're in, which is an exciting time for me and for many. It may be exciting for me in a different way than others because there are those who are with the expectation of getting something from someone. But I am here to acknowledge the birth as we always do. We don't just acknowledge him one time a year. We acknowledge him all year long and for the continuous of our life. So Jesus is always going to be the Lord of our lives, and we recognize him. It's just that the world wants to recognize him at this particular season, but we recognize our Lord and Savior all year round. So we're going to Luke 2 and start at verse 1. And I'll be reading out of the easy-to-read version of the Bible. If you do have a Gateway Bible or different translations, there is a translation called the ERV that you can go to, which is an easy-to-read version. And the Word of the Lord reads, "It was about that time that Augustus Caesar sent out an order to all people in the country that were under Rome rule. The order said that everyone must be put on a list. This was the first counting of all the people while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone traveled to their own hometown to have their name put on this list. But Joseph left Nazareth to a town in Galilee and went to the town of Bethlehem in Judea. It was known as the town of David. Joseph went there because he was from the family of David. Joseph registered with Mary because she was engaged to him. She was now pregnant. While Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have the baby. She gave birth to her first son. She wrapped him up well and laid him in a box or a manger, what cattle are fed. She put him there because the guest room was full." I'm going to read that last verse again, verse 7, so you can understand what we're dealing with, our subject on tonight. "She gave birth to her first son. She wrapped him up well and laid him in a manger, or a box where cattle are fed. She put him there because the guest room was full. So we're going to take a subject for tonight. Nowhere to lay his head except for a place where one can be fed. Nowhere to lay his head except for a place where one is fed. I taught this particular text a couple of Sundays ago. When we deal with physical hunger, our body notifies us when we are hungry. We may hear a growling or in our stomach. We may feel pain in our stomach. Everybody has their own different symptoms that they feel when they hunger. Sometimes we can almost tell when someone is hungry based on their attitude because they become mean and grouchy and take it out on everyone around them until they have been satisfied. Yet we are people who can be very picky about what we eat, where we eat. Most of the time, we are picky about those things, but we're not so much picky about how much we eat. You have a few people who are aware of their food intake, but during special occasions, we tend to eat more because of the quantity of food that is available. So in other words, we are, during seasons like this, Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays, whatever celebration we have, we eat and we eat and we eat because the quantity, most of the time, the quantity of food is there. We, you know, our eyes are oftentimes bigger than our stomach. So physically, we don't have a problem unless, you know, you just don't have food. But those who have food, we basically don't have a problem with trying to feed our physical body because when we are hungry, we just go and we eat. But I want to have an understanding if we have the same understanding and mentality when it comes to our spiritual food. There are times where we have to understand we get to a place in our life where we become very spiritually hungry. And then there are signs that we are spiritually hungry. Some of the signs that we may encounter when we're spiritually hungry is that we feel in our life that this is not enough. We want to start taking different directions. We want to try to find, and people go on spiritual journeys. They're looking for something else. There's something. They may have everything that the world has to offer. They can have houses. They can have cars. They can have a spouse. They can have their children. They can have the picket fence. But there is still something missing. And oftentimes the thing that is missing is spiritual, not physical. And so when we acknowledge the fact that there is something spiritual missing, and when we get hungry for God, when we start hungering and thirsting after righteousness, when we grow up, and not just physically grow up, but when we spiritually grow up, the Bible says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so there comes a time in your life where you put away childish things. Not only that, but when you start spiritually growing up and you get spiritually hungry, you put away childish things and childish people. You begin to separate yourself from things or from people that will not elevate you spiritually because there is a search, there is a thirst, there is a hunger. And so sometimes people may not understand when you get to a place and you start going to church and they're asking questions like, well, why you want to do that? We're having so much fun. Things are good. Why would you want to alter and change? Because at some point in time in your life, you say to yourself, there's got to be more to my life than this. This cannot be all there is to my life. And so sometimes we often go and we search out for spiritual food. We're looking for something greater. We're looking for something more. And it seems as if our spiritual appetite cannot be filled. We read the Bible, but it doesn't make sense to us. We pray, but it doesn't make sense to us. And we're saying, Lord, I'm eating something that I'm not used to. And so sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll spiritually walk away from the things that we need that are nurturing to our spirit because it's not something that we're used to. You've got to realize that even in our physical body, there are certain foods that our body is not accustomed to eating. When you've been raised on fried pork chops and macaroni and cheese and heavy foods and hog maws and different things like that that certain people eat, when you give them stuff like Brussels sprouts, you give them stuff like salad and vegetables, and they're not cooked with all the nutrients that we have, is completely out of it. It's so seasoned that we can't really taste what cabbage really is tasting like because all we taste is seasoning. And so what we've got to understand, we cannot cook everything out of what we're making because we're losing out on vital nutrition that we need. It may not taste as good, but it is better for you because of the way it's prepared. But I guarantee you, the more you eat of it, the more you continue to eat of it, the more your appetite becomes accustomed to it. So when we become accustomed to it, so we've got to learn how to read the word. Somebody says, well, Pastor, I understand you're talking about food, but this don't have nothing to do with Jesus being born and put in a manger. Oh, but I beg to differ. Because let's look at the text. There's all kinds of jewels and treasures in this particular text. The Bible lets us know that Caesar Augustus had gone to the point where he wanted to take a census. He wants to number the amount of people. And so what they had to do is they had to travel, and especially because Mary and Joseph were a part of Joseph was a part of the lineage of David. They needed to get a sense of them about how many people were there. But at the time that they were traveling, the Bible says that Mary was already with child, and she was well in her child birth, where she was about to give birth. And so the Bible says while she was on her journey, while she was there, the baby was to come. And so what you must understand is when they went to find shelter, there was no room in the inn. It wasn't that they couldn't afford to be where they were going. It wasn't that they didn't have the necessity that they needed. The problem was there was no rooms available. In other words, the Marriott was full. There was nowhere else to put anybody else. But because of the way things were in those days, you had those rooms in the inn, and the rooms in the inn all on top was the rooms, and in the bottom is where they kept the livestock, and so that they would not lay outside or sleep outside, because you've got to realize the reason why there was no rooms in the inn is because everybody was coming to be counted, all right? So here Jesus is about to be born. Mary gives birth, the Bible says. But while she is in the stable, the Bible says there was no room in the inn. There was nowhere for her to lay her baby. There was nowhere for her. She took strips of cloth and she wrapped him up in swaddling clothes. She wrapped him up in torn garments. And because there was nowhere else to lay him, she found a place which is called a manger. Now, what you have to understand, a manger, the word manger comes from a Latin word which means mandacare, which means to eat. It is a manger or a crib or a wooden or stone feeding trough. This is what they would use to feed the livestock. they would use this box and they would put hay in that box. That's where the larger farm animals like cattle and horses and donkeys, they would eat out of the manger, and it was located in certain places like stables and corrals and caves. So what the farmers would do is would make sure that the manger was always filled with food. And so because Mary was not willing to put her baby on the ground, which I don't blame her, Mary was not willing to put her child on a cold ground or cold cement or in dirt, the most comfortable place that she could lay her baby was in a place where the livestock would eat. And so she laid Jesus in his swaddling clothes in a manger where livestock would eat. Somebody says, Pastor, I'm still not with you. I'm not getting where you're going with this. What you understand is when we recognize Jesus, we recognize Jesus as the bread of life. We recognize Jesus, whoever hungers and thirsts can come to Jesus and they can be filled. Mary wanted her child to be comfortable, but the spiritual symbolic meaning here that Mary laid her baby in a manger was not done by accident. Animals go to the manger for physical food, but with Jesus laying on the hay, we can go to the manger for spiritual food.
Come on,
anytime we need to be fed spiritually, there's always a manger that we can go to. I'm trying to help somebody on today. There is a reason why this significance happened, because Jesus needed to know, or Jesus, God needed us to know, that his son will always be available. I told you in the beginning, I told you that when the farmers had their animals and they would put the food or the hay in the manger, they made sure that the manger was continually filled. Why? Because that any time they needed to come to eat, they can go to the manger. And when they got to the manger, they could stay there and eat at their leisure. They could stay as long as they wanted to. They could go as often as they wanted to. And what I'm saying to you who are listening on the word tonight, I want you to understand that there is a box. There is a manger. There is a place where you can be spiritually fed. Watch this. And you can be fed at all times. It is a 24-hour and 24-hour a day, 7 days a week. It's always available, and it's always filled. So when we get to a place that we understand how much we need God, how much I need my spiritual life filled, we've got to understand that there is no excuse. It's better than any convenience store, any 24-hour convenience store that there is. Watch this. We have a place here, and y'all may have it wherever you are. It says Dunkin' Donuts. Their motto is, we make it fresh every morning. What you must understand is God's word is fresh every hour of the day, every minute of the day. You can get fresh food from God if all you have to do is go to the manger and you can be fed. And so I want us to understand there was a significance of why Jesus was born. And not only that, it was a process of why things happened the way they did. If we would really search out and look out what God really did for us, get an understanding of how he just made things convenient for us. And the thing about it is there's a lot of times that we have things available, but we will not go and seek after it. What you must understand is that you can have a convenience store that's open 24 hours a day at your corner, but if you don't get up and go get it, you're not going to see what you need. And that's a lot of times we blame God for what we don't have, and it's not God's fault. It's because we have not been able, we will not shall be filled. You got to seek for it. You got to want it. You got to desire it. And sometimes you got to be around people who are hungry.
That's
you know, you got to be around folk who are hungry. You don't need to be when you are in a place spiritually where you're spiritually hungry. You do not need to be around spiritual anorexic people. Because if they're not willing to eat of the bread of life, watch this. If they're not willing to be fed the things of the, do you not realize that it gives us all kinds of nourishment? It helps us walk better. It helps us talk better. It helps us live better. But if we're willing to only receive garbage, if we're only willing to receive the junk, because we're not willing to intake the things that God has us, because we don't have an appetite for that. You've got to have the appetite for wanting more of God.
It's not always the
things people want on the table. I don't want God to give me what I always want. I want him to give me what I need.
Yes.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
A lot of times, we want this, we want that, but we're not spiritually fed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're wondering why we're slow to move. We're wondering why we're not doing what God called us to do. You know, we'll say to ourselves, I just don't feel like I'm where God wants me to be. I don't feel like, well, you've got to check your spiritual appetite. What are you eating? Because if you're eating the things of God, you're eating what God tells you to eat, if you're giving, and you're eating what God is giving you, you ain't going to walk slow. You're going to have some movement in you. You're going to get up and leap and go ahead and stop leaping and trying to get after things. We've got to realize that when we understand that when I eat from the manger, when I eat from the trough, when I eat from the box, when I eat from God's word, it helps me become greater in the assignment that he has for me.
Yes.
And the reason why a lot of people are missing out on being where they're supposed to be in God is because they're waiting on somebody to bring it to them. Oh, my God. You're waiting to be served when you're supposed to be serving.
Serving.
I'll say that again. We're waiting to be served when we are supposed to be serving. And so we're so comfortable with people bringing things to us, giving us what we want. Watch this. We're not being careful. It's different. I know when I was my daughter, she goes through this even with her children. But it's something when you have an appetite for a certain thing, when you make a sandwich for yourself, that sandwich, you make the best sandwich because you really, this is what you wanted. This is what you had an appetite for. And that sandwich would be made perfectly. You got your the right bread. The bread is nice and soft. You got the right meat that you wanted on it, the right whatever your condiments that you like. You got your lettuce, your tomatoes, whatever you like on it. You got your certain seasons on there. And when you have that all together, you look at it and you take the first bite of it. That sandwich is so good. Watch this. That sandwich is so good. It's not just good for you, but when other people look at it, they want it too.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody didn't catch that.
That's good.
You can make the food so good that they want it too. And you've got to realize the reason why, and there's a lot of folks will look at your food, they'll be like, oh, my goodness, that is so good. They're so good. And they inquire, where did you get that from? Can you make me one? They'll say the same. Can you make me one just like it? Because the thing is, we've got to understand, when God gives us a word, it ain't just for us to just eat for ourselves. You got to know I got enough available that you can make somebody else one just like it. You can lead them to the manger. You can lead them to the box. Watch this. And you say to them, listen, I can make you one. Not only that, I can show you where to go. Not only that, I can show you how to make it. And what is that called? Mm-hmm. It's called witnessing.
Yes.
I'm witnessing. You ever see somebody, they'll look at certain things, they'll look at your food, and they'll be like, where did you get that from? Oh, and then you give them directions to where to go to get it. There is a lot of you not realize that every time we put the word of God in us, the more we feed off the word, the more we hear the word, the more we do the word, do you not realize that the more word that we put in, the more word comes out?
Amen.
Amen.
And it will be desired by many. Watch this. When Jesus began to speak, as he began to take his journey, that's why multitudes came. Multitudes came to where Jesus was. He was no longer in a manger. He may have been in the wilderness. He may have been on a boat borrowed by a fisherman. But they came to where he was to eat. Watch this.
Amen.
They didn't come for two fish and five loaves of bread. They just so happened to get two fish and five loaves of bread. But what they came for was spiritual food. Now we got folks that only come to church when you got a service, when they're going to have food afterwards.
My Lord. My Lord.
Now we got to feed you physically before you want food spiritually. It didn't work like that in the Bible.
Mm-mm.
When they heard Jesus speak, they came from, there were so many, 5,000 men plus women and children.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine 5,000 men plus women and children? You say this, if every man had a wife and 2.5 kids in there, that's a lot of people who are just wanting to hear word.
Yes.
Our churches are being scared. People are walking away because they don't want to go to the manger. They don't want to go to the box.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get a chicken box with two pieces and a biscuit, but they won't come. Y'all don't hear me in here. They won't come to hear Jesus in the box.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time for us. It's time for us to understand that God has so much for us. We're in a season. It's time in 2019 to spread the word. That's a good word.
Yes, it's time.
Spread the word.
It's time.
Because
yes.
The thing about it is, it never runs out.
Never runs out. Hallelujah.
It's always plenty. It's always plenty. Not only does it never run out, but it's always available.
Yes.
If we're hungry spiritually, it's nobody's fault but our own.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that you're spiritually hungry. And the only reason why you may be spiritually hungry is because you have not gone to the place where you can be fed.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at this season in this time. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the true bread that has come down from heaven. And whoever eats this bread, the Bible says, will live forever. If a person wants to be spiritually well-fed, there's a difference. If a person wants to be spiritually well-fed, it is important for them to read Scripture and receive it. Okay? Let's look at it. You can't just read the Scripture and don't receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can read Scripture but not receive what we've read. Because you've got to understand, you've got to fight all the other stuff that you're used to. You got to fight all the stuff that that your body has intake. Okay? So do you understand that every movie that you watch, every book that you read, it is some type of spiritual food? Now you gotta recognize. Somebody said, "Well, you gotta realize that every spirit ain't a good spirit, and everything that you intake spiritually is not necessarily of God."
Mm-hmm.
So we wonder why. We wonder why we're doing different things. You gotta be ever so careful what you allow in your spirit. Somebody said, "Oh, Pastor, it's just a scary movie." Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, it's just a thriller. It's just a book. It's a romantic novel. Well, you don't need to intake that in your spirit, especially if you're single. And you got issues in this area. You got to be careful what you read in the season that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You got to be careful what you watch in the season that you're in.
You got to be careful what you intake and the mindset you're in. Because if you're not careful, watch this, whatever you eat is going to be revealed on the outside. If you eat a lot of cakes and cookies and donuts and all these different things, does it not get revealed on the outside?
Amen.
Maybe it's just me.
Amen.
Y'all can get real quiet if you want to, but the truth is, if we eat all of those things that we should not eat, it will show on the outside.
Amen.
And then we start talking about, I got to lose weight. I have to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you start losing the weight from what you've been taking is you got to stop intaking what you've been what's been causing you to gain weight. Same thing spiritually. You keep saying, I got to change my mindset. I got to grow spiritually. What in the world are you eating? I'll never forget, I had a trainer, and I would go to the gym 3 times a day. He would work me out. He would work. I would leave there, go to work. By the time I got home, my muscles and my whole body was aching. When I came back again, he noticed. He said, Dawn, he said, now I know I'm working you. He said, but what are you eating? He said, you've got to follow a plan. He said, even though you're losing weight, you're not losing the amount of weight that you should have lost because you're eating something that you shouldn't be because your weight on the outside is not showing it. Watch this. He never followed me home. He wasn't with me at every meal that I ate, but he knew what he gave me to do, and he knew that it wasn't showing on the outside. Let me help you tonight. God knows what he's given you to do. But he said there's something else that you're imparting with and intaking because it's not showing on the outside. If I'm giving you spiritual food, you should not be talking about certain things. You shouldn't be going to certain places. You shouldn't be doing certain things because he's saying to you, what are you eating? Because what you're eating, when you talk and have conversation, it's not what I gave you.
Wow, that's good. That's good.
You're taking in something that is not helping you or helping those who are around you. Because one thing I realized, and I've been on this spiritual, physical journey for a little while now, for the last 2 years, and I've lost at least about, I would say about 50 pounds, 55 pounds in the last year and a half. And it is noticeable to many. It's noticeable to many to the point they question, how did you do it? Which gives me an opportunity to sit down with an individual and say, well, this is what I did. Do you not realize that when you start talking the spiritual things of God, when you start sitting down with people and they start looking at you talking about there's something different about you. How did you get this far in ministry? How did you get this far in things in life? They're going to ask you questions. How did you do it? Just like the physical, it's the same with the spiritual. They're going to inquire. God said, I need a billboard for me. I need somebody to show somebody else that it can be done. And that whatever I speak in your life, I will make it happen for you. But you've got to do what I say. I did a service on, and I'm getting ready to open up the phone line. But I did a service on last Sunday afternoon, and I was talking about being submitted to God and how Mary had to submit herself. She had to be pliable in the hand of God. She had to make sure, because what God had orchestrated for her to do seemed impossible. The angel Gabriel comes to her and says, you're going to give hope a child. You're going to get impregnated. But, well, Mary's question is, well, how am I going to do that if I don't know any man? I'm engaged, but we're not together. We have not done anything. We have not consummated our marriage. How could this be? God said it's the orchestrated, Gabriel said it's the orchestrated plan of God. I need you to accept. I need to hear your yes, that you're going to be in the plan that God has already ordained for your life.
Because know this, that God does not forcefully make you submit. I'm going to say it again. God does not forcefully make you submit. It is at your own will. But know this, when I say yes to God, I have to say yes to whatever he says. I cannot alter the plan of God so it'll fit what I want it to fit, because God has already given the plan. You just got to say yes to the plan. Now watch this. In the plan, there are going to be some things you don't like. There are going to be some things that you're going to love. But there's some things you can't just like some of the things and dislike the stuff that you dislike. You want to jump and bail out when you've already said yes. And so a lot of times we question God. God, why is this happening? Why did you do this? Why did you allow this, God? It's a part of the plan. So when I say you've got to bend, you've got to bend when it's good and you've got to bend when it's bad. It's a part of the plan. But know this, that whatever plan God sets up, his glory is always going to be revealed. Watch this. And God is never going to embarrass himself. So know this, that if God has orchestrated a plan for your life, the outcome can only be victory because his name is on it.
Yes.
And whatever his name is on, he is not allow it to fail. He will not allow it to fail.
Amen. Amen.
He will make sure that that thing is completed. Now, you may fail in the plan, but his plan ain't going to fail. Because one thing he will do, if you choose not to continue in the plan, he always has somebody else, another vessel that will be pliable to his plan. Ask Adam and Eve. Adam, where are you? Why do you have fig leaves on, Adam? Because I was naked. Who told you you were naked, Adam? When did you decide to jump bail on this plan? So now he has to find a substitute to fix the mess that man messed up. So he sends his son as a substitute to complete the mission that man failed. Y'all got to understand, this is not God's failure. This is man's failure.
Mm-hmm.
You said yes, and now you want to jump back and say no. No, 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 no. You've got to see that plan through, even when it's uncomfortable to you. All right, I don't have that much time. I could be here all night with this, but I'm going to open up the line. Anybody want to share anything that you may have heard tonight that may have blessed you? Listen, something that you were fed tonight that you said, oh, this was really good. I'm going to share this with you as well. Anybody else want to open up and just share something with us on tonight? The lines are open.
All lines are open. All lines are open. Pastor Nixon, I have enjoyed. I've been taking notes, and I'm going to have to go back and listen to it in the archives again because I got excited and wanted to shout. I'm over here sitting at the table just a smiling and rejoicing. Excellent teaching. I love the way that you broke this down in plain words. And that's what I say about you and the way the Lord uses you. You're excellent teacher.
God bless you. God bless you. It's no other way I know how to do it. I often tell people I'm not that smart. I can only give what God gives me. And I really, sometimes we talk so much above people that they miss out. And I want to make sure that whatever we get that word, that we can retain it, keep it. I heard a young girl say something on this week that just, and she's a young minister just starting out. And I don't know where she grasped this from, but I have taken it. And I've been running with it. She said something so powerful in her message. She said, I'd rather be Jesus heavy and title weak. Jesus heavy and title weak. Why? Because there's so many people who want to be title heavy, but they're Jesus weak.
Yeah.
And
I said, if I'm not giving Jesus and I'm only giving me, there's a problem. There's a problem. So we got to make sure we're Jesus heavy and title weak. Amen? Anybody else want to share something on tonight?
I like the part where you talked about Jesus, Pastor Dawn. I like the part where you talked about we can go and eat 24-7. We can go to the box. The box is the word of God. We can go in there and eat that bread 24/7. We can. It's available to us. I just feel like I brought that out. Excellent.
No reason to be hungry.
No reason to be hungry. Some of us are starving.
Yes, we are. We're spiritually starving, and it's not because there's no prepared food.
Right.
It's because it's not what we want.
Right.
It's just like, you know, you can go in your cupboard and you say, I want something. I don't really know what I want. And you look in the cupboard or look in the refrigerator and you say, no, I don't want that.
That's
I don't want that. But it's what you have.
Right.
It's what you have. And instead of going out and paying a price for something that you don't have, when you have something already available, watch this, that's free. God said, "You, I didn't ask you for anything. I didn't ask you for a tip. I didn't ask you to pay this amount. I didn't ask you. I never gave you a bill." He said, "This is for free."
Mm-hmm.
And we still won't eat it.
That's
and it's a sad day when we'd rather starve spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Or intake food from other places, and that will make us believe that their food is good. Now, I'm realizing, too, that there's a lot of food, even if we deal with the physical things, if we look on the back of the bag or the box and we look at some of the stuff that we're eating, we can't even pronounce it.
Right.
Let's know what it is. But watch it. We eat it anyway.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're eating. We don't know what it'll do to us. But because it tastes good, we eat it. And we don't realize that people put a lot of mess and a lot of stuff in there so that we can swallow it.
Mm.
Put a lot of sugar in it. And we don't know what we're eating. So we got to be aware, people of God, in this spiritual time where we are and the season that we are in now, don't let people sugarcoat stuff for you to make you think that this is all right, that this is godly.
That's good.
You put a little sugar on it, like, I don't know if it was Mary Poppins, which one, that used to sing the song, a spoon full of sugar will help the medicine go down. No, you better take that thing straight, no chaser. Take that thing straight, no chaser, and just take it, whatever you got. You may not like it, but it's going to be the betterment for you. Stop letting people put stuff on your food, and you don't even know what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll give you, and that's why there's many who are sickly among us. Because we want to intake the things of the world and still intake God's bread without saying I'm sorry. Without saying, God, forgive me. So we sit down, we take communion, we take eat of his bread and his blood, and then turn around and eat of something else, do what we want to do, live how we want to live, and then come and take it. No, he said, that's why many of us are weak and sickly among us. Because we want to eat the bread of God when it's convenient for us, and then when we leave God, we want to go eat the things of the world. God said no. I'm not going to eat my food and mix it up with the food of the enemy.
Can't mix it up.
Can't mix it up because it's going to make you sick.
That's good, Pastor.
So we've got to be very, very careful of how we intake and what we intake. It's a serious thing. We don't take it seriously, but it's a very serious thing. Because if we eat more of God's food, I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to turn it back over to Elder Clay and Lady Clay. If we eat more of God's food, it will allow us to live better, walk better, talk better.
Amen.
And it will make us spiritually fit to the point where we don't have to question if God is real or not.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have, when you eat the word that says, I will let nothing separate me from the love of God, you put that in your body,
It goes through your liver. It goes through your bloodstream. It goes through your organs. It goes through everything in it. And every time I speak, it's in not only that, but it goes to my mind. It goes to my heart. It goes through my whole entire body. And that's what I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak what I eat. Y'all, that's good right there. Y'all need the Facebook Live. Y'all need to hashtag that fast. Facebook it. Instagram it. I am going to speak what I
Jesus.
God bless you. I love y'all. I'm going to turn it back over to Elder Clay and Lady Clay. I pray that all of you have a wonderful Christmas season. Enjoy as we go into this new year, into this new part of life that we're getting ready to enter into. I believe that the saints are about to uprise in this upcoming year. I believe God for you, and I believe God for your family. Have a blessed and wonderful Christmas. God bless all of you. Elder Clay is in your hands. Lady Clay is in your hands.
I just wanted to say that those nuggets that you gave us was definitely food that we can feed on. I definitely like where you made a comment in terms of what we eat. What goes in comes right back out. Because when you're eating the Word of God, listen, let me tell you something. When you begin to start to talk, the Word of God is going to come right out. So what we have been eating, what we eat, is going to come right out. That spoke with me. To me, volumes. I'm thinking about these young kids, you know, the millennials. I'm just thinking about the youth. And they're not eating the right food. They think they are, but they're not eating the right food. God gives us choices. He gives us choices. And this was definitely a word that everyone needs to spread, reminding us of how we eat. Healthy living. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pastor, you know, every time you come on, you always break it down and definitely make it so that it's plain, and we love that about you. We pray that God will continue to use you as a vessel within the church, but not only within the church, but within your community as you continue feeding the flock as well as those who come to visit your service. We thank you on this end. Blog Talk Radio, we thank you. You have definitely been a blessing to us, and you have definitely fed us, and I know that I'm full. I'm full spiritually. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Amen. And we want to go beyond the community. What I'd like you all to do, those that are listening, please go to your site and share this broadcast with your friends and family.
Yes.
Everyone may not have been able to listen at this time, but can you listen at their own convenience by accessing the archive library and by hitting our sites on Twitter and on Facebook and when you share this message as well. So if you could just forward the message to your friends and family and share it on your social media and so forth. This is a word in due season. This season of Christmas, people need to understand there is no Xmas. It's Christmas, and we are celebrating Jesus Christ, not Santa Claus,
not
the things of the world, not the commercial Christmas, but the birth of Christ, the birth of our Lord and Savior.
What a word.
Thank you so much. We thank you all for listening. We invite you to come back and join us next Wednesday. We're here every Wednesday, rain or shine, holiday or not. We're here every Wednesday. So we hope to hear you again. Bye-bye. God bless you.
We love you. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.